European Union Affairs and Chief Negotiator, other members of your delegation. On behalf of the Portuguese Parliament, I would like to give you a warm welcome to the Portuguese Parliament. I would like to say that we are here on a delegation that is composed also by the members of the Portuguese-Turkish Parliamentary Friendship Group. We have the Vice Presidents of the European Affairs Committee and a delegation with representatives of parties in the European Affairs Committee. We are very interested in deepening our relationships and our contacts with Turkey. I have also the occasion of receiving your predecessor, and we all know that Turkey is a very important country in a very strategic part of the world, not only for the world in general, but also for our country, which gives a lot of weight to our southern partnership. So I would now give the floor to the Vice President of the Portuguese-Turkish Parliamentary Friendship Group, then give it over to you. Then we will give the opportunity to the representatives of the parties to intervene and open the discussions. Welcome, Mr. Raul Almeida.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Mr. Minister, to welcome you, welcome once again the Mrs. Ambassador and all the delegation. It is a pleasure to represent the Portuguese-Turkish Parliamentary Friendship Group in this meeting, to give our warmest welcome and to make a statement about our continuous work that we do with most joy to strengthen bonds between Turkey and Portugal, and to work towards the full assessment. Of course, it is our deepest goal of Turkey in the EU. Formerly with Mr. Egemen Baziz, we had straight bonds also, and we hope to continue this work with you, and we hope that you keep this very illustrative motto of Turkey, the missing star among the stars of the European Union. It is our goal too. It is the north of our work, and we welcome you, and we hope to continue this rich exchange of ideas, of ideals between the two countries. Thank you very much.
Spencer. Floor is yours.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to meet with any Portuguese citizen, but especially with you, chairs and members of the this committee, and also members of the Turkish Portuguese Friendship Group. I brought you your counterparts' best regards. Mr. Selvi especially wanted me to convey his best wishes and thanks for your hospitality when you last met. And of course, I'm now only 10 years old minister, but I wanted to come first to Portugal, to the country I'm really attached very much, this beautiful country, and to the Portuguese people. And from here, I'll go to Strasbourg and Brussels. One needs some energy before going to, you know, very well. I mean, You also had a very long process, 15 years almost, and you need energy when you go to Brussels and Strasbourg. So I said, go to Portugal, get the energy, and then move to the difficult part. I'm really very happy to be here. The Prime Minister received me yesterday, and there was the cabinet meeting going on. He was really polite to come out from the meeting and give a chance to me to meet with him, and also the Deputy Prime Minister was chairing the cabinet when he was out. Then he came out, the Prime Minister went in. So that's, I mean, a good example on how our feelings and relations are, and thank you very much. I came here to listen from you and see what type of a picture we have before making any strategies and attempts. I have a picture in my mind, but I just want to talk to friends and make an assessment what really is, what should be done, what cannot be done. That's why I'm here. And I have my colleagues, Zubyuka is the deputy minister, Mr. Özcan is my head of the projects department, and also head of the task force dealing with public communication and also relations with the civil society. Mr. Arıkan was our consul general in Batumi, but he worked with me when I was permanent rep in Brussels. For you, permanent rep. Lady, you don't know, she came. who is she? She's also the counselor of the embassy and counselor of the embassy, and my chief of cabinet and head of the department for civil society relations. So, thank you.
Let me then also introduce all the members of our delegation. We have the Vice President of the European Affairs Committee, Mr. Vitalin Kerner from the Socialist Party, Mr. Pedro Hock from the Partly's Turkish Parliamentary Friendship Group from PSD, Mr. Antonio Rodriguez from the European Affairs Committee, Vice President of the Parliamentary Group of the PSD, it's the biggest party, Mr. Ivo Oliveira from the Socialist Party, and Mrs. Gloria Ruiz from the Socialist Party also. So I will now give the floor to my colleagues. As you know, Portugal has kept an open attitude towards accession of new members, also in the case of Turkey. But I'm sure it's better to hear our parties in the European Affairs Committee speak about these questions. So first, Mr. Vitorino Canas, then I will give the floor to Mr. Rodrigues from the Socialist Party, which is the main opposition party at the moment.
Thank you very much, and welcome again to this parliament. It is not, of course, the first time we receive senior officials, senior members of the Turkish government here, and it won't be the last one, I hope, because, of course, we have always a big pleasure to discuss with our Turkish friends. We have common interests. We are full supporters of the Turkish accession to the European Union. You know that, it's not a, I'm not giving you any new, and we will still support. And we have to be grateful for your balanced position in a difficult world, in a difficult area, region of this world. Your balanced position is very important. You are very strategic for all of us, and the relation of Europe with and the rest of the world with Turkish is getting even more important than in the past. So I know that we have not much time. I have two questions for you. One is the current situation of the negotiations. We know that we are evolving step by step, very small steps as far as we are concerned. We have a new commission, a new composition of the commission. Of course, all of us are expecting to see what is the stance of this new commission. I hope that they are more dynamic in as far as the integration of Turkish is concerned. But I would like to know the current current situation. And also, this is not concerning the next question is not concerning the European affairs question. We know that a coalition is being prepared to face some challenges, current challenges in the region of Turkey. I'd like to know your views about the what you can foresee as far as the situation in the region is concerned. Thank you very much.
For efficiency purposes, I would join with other questions. Mr. Rodrigues, Antonio Rodrigues from the PSD, which is the main party now in the government. Mr. Antonio Rodrigues.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Minister, Mrs. Ambassador, delegation. Welcome to Portugal. It's a pleasure to receive you here. I would say yes. I'd say it's a pleasure to have you here. Yes, we still support your presence in Europe, and we are fulfilling to see you together with us. I told it before in this room for several delegations that come from Turkey, and we still support it because, not only because what you said, there's a close relation between us, between Portugal and Turkey, but also there's another reason. I think that has to be a European reason. You are in a strategic place. The Mediterranean is each time becoming the center of the worries of the entire world, and of course, all the efforts to put all the countries together is quite very important, so you have a strategic role to play there, and of course, we want you to be with us in all the efforts that we can have to stop the troubles that the world are having. So welcome very much to Portugal, and welcome very much to Europe, and we want to support you in the future. Of course, my colleague Vitalin Kern has already asked you if you could make the point of the situation of whether developments inside the negotiations in Europe, and we are, it's over 25 years that you are discussing this so closely, and we are still waiting for you to come together with us. So if you could tell us a bit more about that, and can tell us a bit about the situation in Turkey towards all the things that are happening in the Mediterranean and the problems that you are having nearby you, and it seems that things are not getting better. So that is, in a few words, what we would like to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Mr. Canas and Rodriguez asked the same question, so I start with the present situation of the negotiations. One correction, it's we first applied to the European Economic Community in 1959, so it's 55 years. It shows how decided, how stubborn, how tolerant Turkey is to join the name-changing entity, which is now the European Union. But it's also a proof that we will not give up, and we will try to become member whenever, but not of course, after another 25, 50 years. So where we are is, unfortunately, when you look at the negotiations, the picture is not very, very good, because we haven't opened a chapter, or we opened only one chapter in 3.5 years, and our leaders are not seen in family photographs, and the public opinion support is going down. Meanwhile, we are trying to keep this alive. When 8 chapters were suspended in 2006 and no chapter it was not possible anymore to close chapters according to the same decision, we took a decision saying that we will open the chapters in Turkey. It wasn't just a challenge, it was, from our side, a correct decision, because you have seen your negotiations, which took 15 years. It's a different system now we have. When you negotiated, you didn't have opening benchmarks, closing benchmarks, and the negotiations are actually to discuss how many years you will have after becoming members, exempt from difficult areas obligations. And when you have opening benchmarks and closing benchmarks, practically you can't negotiate. The opening benchmarks are there. If you do it, you open the chapter. If something is forgotten, then it comes as closing benchmarks. So practically, it was created for Turkey and then extended to other countries who negotiated. The first victim was Croatia. So under these circumstances, the new system starts with a screening. And EU Commission explains the acquis communautaire, and the candidate country officers explain the country legislation. So when we decided to open chapters, I'm telling this to so that you can understand better, we have the screening, and the screening report, which says chapter X, legislation is 100%, Turkish fulfillment is, let's say, 68%. So for us, closing the 32% is the negotiations under the circumstances. So when chapters were suspended and new chapters unofficially were added, 17 chapters are blocked now. Okay, we said we opened the chapters. So we worked very hard during the 8 years, and now the real picture is not the official figure, which is 14 chapters opened and one chapter closed, but we have opened 27 chapters, or perhaps 28 chapters. One is going to be closed, opened very soon, and we closed 14 chapters. The real picture is 28 to 14 instead of 14 to 1. What this means is perhaps you will not open any chapter in the next 1 or 2 years, but we have brought Turkish legislation and Turkish implementation of legislation to the level which should be necessary to open or close chapters. So if the Cyprus problem is solved and suddenly European Union says, okay, let's open 10 chapters, we can open it in two months. If we didn't do this work, then it would have been 3 years, 4 years. So that was important. Secondly, all the mechanisms in Turkey, my ministry, all the ministries now have an EU department, civil society, universities, fund users, the chambers, etc., bar associations. If we didn't do this and wait for a chapter to be opened, we would have lost all the energy of these institutions. Now they are working as if negotiations are going on. So we don't care very much if chapters are opened or not, because in 3-4 years ago, the question was, if we do not open a chapter, the economy would tremble. Stock exchange will go down, interest will go up. It's not the case anymore. For 3.5 years, nothing happened. Progress reports are not having any effect on the economy. So for us, opening a chapter, one chapter, five chapter, 10 chapter, is the accession conference itself. Because in the accession conference, the political will to continue the negotiations is reconfirmed. And we are more interested with the accession conference than the chapter itself, because the real, so that is where we are. Our leaders were present in family photographs until 2004, constitution. They signed the Rome Treaty before, the one before the Lisbon Treaty one. And then suddenly they disappeared. And we are all politicians. I mean, it's very difficult to explain to the public opinion when they ask, where are you? Why aren't you there? I mean, do you have a problem? I mean, why didn't you go to Brussels? So this really made a very negative effect on our internal politics. So what I'm trying to do is, first, I will talk to the decision makers, to parliamentarians, to commissioners, and whoever possible, new enlargement, so-called enlargement commissioner as well, and try to first start the train moving again. And we will make steps. I mean, this new situation in Turkey is a first time in Republican history happening. The president was elected by the popular vote, and the party leaders changed because he resigned, and then we have a new prime minister, new government, and this new entity, new president, first thing they did was they said, okay, we will continue with the European Union, strategic target is there. They appointed me as a EU minister, 14 years of my last 14 years only was with the EU, and so there's a message here. And I would very much like to see that there is a reply to this message. Small steps, bigger steps, larger steps. Progress report is important. We should have criticism in the report, but it shouldn't be said in a nasty style. I mean, you can use to achieve the same target with different wordings. It will not hurt. but we can also take those criticism and use it in our domestic policies. And then the visa report is important, first report. It should give us the impression that this is going on, but these are missing, so we will try to fulfill. Meanwhile, we should meet more. I mean, we had a period where we were very much engaged with difficulties in Turkey. 15 months, we had demonstrations, attempts, a lot of things you know very well, campaigns, elections. So people were more in Turkey than here or elsewhere. But now we will have our leaders more shaking hands, talking, getting to know each other. I think these are good. But we don't have much time. This attempt is an attempt. And I calculated the days. We have only 100 days. We must see something coming back to us so that we can reply, ask for a reply. And we must have the Turkish people see that the train started again to move. That's why we need your help very much, because you have always also stubbornly, decidedly supported us. But we would ask you to be more visible. I gave an example yesterday to your Deputy Speaker of the Parliament. He said, we have only one vote, so what can we do? I said, there is a phenomena called a butterfly effect. Portugal is not a butterfly, but you can be the triggering country to show the butterfly effect. So that's where we are. New commission could have been a disaster. I mean, not having an enlargement commissioner was going to be the biggest mistake, not only for Turkey, but there are countries in my region who really look to the future with the European Union one of the days being the target. So when you close the enlargement commissioner and you don't have any reference to enlargement, removing for 5 years membership, it is perhaps acceptable for them, but not having any reference would have been a disaster. I was having nightmares how I can explain this to my country. I'm sure my counterparts in those countries were having the same. But it's good that you have intervened, Italians and some other countries, that now it's the, at least there's an enlargement commissioner. And I will talk to him, and through our press conferences, I will ask him to make explanatory statements, cooling down and guaranteeing that enlargement is still the process we should maintain. Otherwise, we will lose some of the countries for forever. I mean, not Turkey, but you understand what I mean. Concerning Mr. Kanas' question, Iraq and Syria, we have 13 neighbors, and all of them are very colorful. I mean, it's good that you have less neighbors than we have. Even though we applied a very important policy, trying to establish good relations with all of our neighbors, all of the countries in the world, that's why we joined, as an observer, the Portuguese-speaking countries group here. I mean, it's just symbolic. I mean, just to have solidarity with you, showing that we want to be your friend in your very important gathering. But unfortunately, things didn't move very well in our region. The Arab Spring, which really gave hope in the beginning, is reversed. It's now the situation is worse than even during the dictator's period. 200,000 people is killed in Syria. 1.3 million people are in Turkey. Almost 2.5-3 million people are altogether out of Syria. And it is a burden. It is not only financially. It's costed us $3.5 billion up to now. It will, of course, continue. And the necessary cooperation is only on words, in principle. We have received something like 100 million euros vis-a-vis 3.5 billion. But these are people, our neighbors. Some of the people are belonging to same family, only the border was dividing them. And when they came, we couldn't close the doors. As we haven't closed the doors to the Iraqi Kurds who came in 1988, 500,000 came. We couldn't close the border to Bulgarians who came escaping from Jivko. We couldn't close our doors to the Sephardic Jews escaping from this part of the world 520 years ago. So we couldn't do that. I mean, if you close it and if things get better, they will remember that in their difficult times, you were not with us, you helped the person killing us. This is an investment to the future. So once things get better, they will remember Turkey as a friend, looked after them. But now the terrorist groups, unfortunately, U.S. was in a kind of an isolation policy. And they everybody understood that U.S. cannot send troops anymore. Because 9/11 was an excuse, but once the three Satans, Osama bin Laden, Saddam, and Gaddafi was eliminated, it was the American administration didn't have any argument to convince the American people that there is a necessity, there is a threat to send U.S. soldiers anymore, because people wanted their families, their sons to come back before they get killed in Afghanistan or Iraq. So this was, I think, the reason why these groups, they moved from other parts of the world to the vacuum in Syria, and they are using it as a laboratory, showing us new technologies in killing people, and also proving that they are strong and they can do anything. IS, captured Mosul, for example, with 1,800 people, when 55,000 strong Iraqi army take off their uniforms and escaped. 55,000 left, 1,800 came. And our difficulty is that the consul general and 49 people in the consulate general is now in the hands of IS since 3 months. So that's why we are a little bit careful when joining decisions. We want everything to happen there, but officially being in is threatening the lives of the consul general and 48 people in the hands of IS. So very difficult situation, very well trained. They have come from different parts of the world, from Georgia, from England, from Germany, from Chechnya, from Central Asia, all, I mean, former terrorist groups. I mean, they don't have a nationality, they don't have an ethnicity, they don't speak perhaps the same language, but they came there. So I don't know what will be the future, but they unfortunately caused a result where Assad was the target to be removed, but when Europe and NATO saw the so-called alternatives, they said, well, we should live with the devil we know. I mean, and Assad, in a way, escaped from this circumstance very, very cleverly. But if we can't solve this, then they will have, of course, they wouldn't be satisfied just with Iraq and Syria. They would certainly attempt very dangerous things in Europe, in the United States. So they have to be stopped there. And they should be like a cancer treatment. They should be thrown out from the region. But this is not a new gathering. Actually, they started when Iraq was, when the U.S. intervened in Iraq. They first were established at that time. And when they saw Syria, they enlarged. And the danger is, in some of the Western press, this is called, I mean, normally the name is translated into ISIS, but some, especially the British newspapers, are using the term ISIL. L means Levant. Levant means Cyprus, Syria, Iraq, Jordan, Palestine, Israel. That region is called Levant. So I don't know why they are doing this, but it is giving the impression that a larger geography is envisaged for this group. Meanwhile, we should limit where they are, and not enlarge the by giving a Levant name to it. So that's where we are.
Mr. Minister, I know we are limited in time. Let me just praise the role of Turkey as a very important stabilizing force in this region, and also in its role as welcoming refugees from the crisis in this region. Secondly, as you've heard, we keep the political will of pushing forward the processes of accession of adhesion of Turkey in the European Union. There are problems still on the road, as you've mentioned the public support. It's an important question. You mentioned also the Cyprus problem. I hope that in the near future steps can be taken, and you can count on Portugal for this purpose. Thank you very much. I have a small souvenir from the Portuguese Parliament, which is given by the Portuguese-Turkish Parliamentary Friends Group and by the European Affairs Committee. Please.
I would be very happy to have a photograph.
Yes.